Okay, again, we'll welcome you out. Some days are a challenge, good days, bad days, but hopefully in the Lord it's all a good day, and the day he draws us in, as we just sang about, will be a good day, will be a wonderful day. You know, every day is kind of a battle, good versus evil, and you know, it's always a battleground. You know, most movies are made good versus evil. You know, there's good guys, there's bad guys, and you know, we root for who we want to come out on top. You know, we cheer on the hero and boo the evil people that do the terrible things, the bad things. You know, people made living on being the good guys. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he's always the good guy. Well, except for Terminators, but most of them, he's the good guy. Bruce Willis is generally the good guy, the hero that comes to save the world, you know, and so many more. And you know, it's not new. You can go back to our days, the Lone Ranger days. You know, he come to beat the bad guys, and even a guy named Paladin, if you remember that. I always liked Paladin, but that was many moons ago. But Paladin was a good guy, although he was dressed in black, I believe. But cartoons is even, you got Popeye and Bluto. You know, it's good guys, bad guys. Tom and Jerry. You got all the comic book heroes, you know, Marvel and DC. You know, there's good guys, but there's bad guys. There's always a battle between good and evil. And Paul talks about the fight between good and evil in our lives, and we face it every day. And he talks about it in Romans. Part of this is going to be from Bible study we had, Romans 6. We're going to be in Romans 6, start out, chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. And Paul's pointed out earlier in Romans that we've been freed through the law through grace. Okay, the law came, the law was good. He gave it, told us, it pointed out what sin was. It pointed out what God's requirements were. And it also pointed out we could never obey it. We couldn't keep it completely. It wasn't meant to, nor could it ever put us in a righteous state. You know, the law was the law, but it could only tell us where we should be. It couldn't get us there. And it could only convict us and point out our need for a Savior to save us from the disobedience of the law. And Paul's talking about that. Because when Christ enters our life and we're baptized into life and death with Christ, that's what that signifies. You know, it's a sign of a new relationship. It signifies our death, our burial, and our resurrection with Christ, but also our life now in Christ. We have it now. It's not something we have to wait for. There's one to come, but we have life in Christ now. You know, and our old man, born in Adam, was put to death, you know, when Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood, and again, we're buried up and raised up with a new life in Christ. Not that the law was wrong. It's still correct. It's still good. But we now live under grace. Christ has forgiven us of those things where we failed at. That's what being in Christ is. We have a new life in him. But I want to read Romans 6, 5 through 14. It says, "For if we have been united with him in death, like in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But for the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, but you are not under the law, but under grace." So again, the old man, the child of Adam, which we were, has died. The new man, being a child of God, has grace under Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus paid the price for Adam's sin. You know, he said, it's finished. That sin's been paid. You know, Adam brought sin into our life, but we don't live to that sin anymore. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he's taken that. He's taken that. We don't have to live under that sin any longer. But we've overcome Adam's sin through the sacrifice of Christ. Again, the law was good, but unable to be kept. But Jesus came, so even though we failed, we can still be with him. You know, he says sin is no longer as our master. He doesn't say sin doesn't still exist. It still does. But he does say we're not slaves to it. It doesn't have to control us. We have the ability to overcome that. Because he says we're now slaves to righteousness. We're in service to God. That's our new life. Our old life, we puttered around with sin. We delved in sin. We did those things. Our new life changes us to the new creature in Christ. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be like Christ. But then why do we still have such a problem with sin? You know, the sin didn't go away. The sin nature didn't go away. There's still a part of us that holds that. But we still have a problem with sin. And I want to get to a little ahead of time from Bible study. So read 7 and 8 this week in Romans. But I'm going to read Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. Because Paul tells us how Christians are still in that battle between good and evil. And this is from Paul, who I believe at this point is debatable, but I believe he's a mature Christian at this point. He understands things. But we're going to see what Paul's take is on the battle between good and evil and in ourselves and what we face. That's Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. It says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin." You get the tongue twister out of the way. Do you ever feel that way? Why do I do the things I do? Why do I do the things I don't even want to do? You know, he says, you know, I know to do right. You know, I don't only do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I should do. He says, you know, I know to do right, but then I don't do it. You know, I do the opposite. You know, if someone tells us not to do something, what do you want to do? You want to do it. So that's the nature within us. Somebody, you don't do that. I want to do that now. You know, they just brought it up. And, you know, kids, you teach kids, you say, don't touch it, it's hot. When do they learn that that's hot? After they touch it. Because it's what they want to do. Once you said, don't touch it, that's in their mind. Now I want to touch it. And that's what Paul's saying, you know, that's the sin, that's my sin nature taking control and telling me that I got to do what I'm not supposed to do. You know, that I'm letting that influence me. I'm letting that rule me instead of what God's telling me to do, to be obedient and the righteous side and to be obedient to Him. You know, there was a hotel in Galveston, Texas, right on the Gulf of Mexico, right on the water, or Gulf of America, whichever you want to call it these days. But they put up signs, no fishing from the balcony. And you know what people did. They fished from the balcony. You know how they got them to quit? They took the signs down. Then they didn't know. But signs up, they did it. Fixed it with taking the signs down. There was a church one time, a lady, they went to a church, they recited the Ten Commandments every Sunday. The lady at church finally went up, she said, I wish you would quit doing that every Sunday. Just quit reciting the Ten Commandments. Pastor said, why? She said, it puts too many ideas in people's heads. They say, don't do this, don't do this. Now that's in their mind. You know, now I got to do that. You know, even words create desires. You know, you say, well, I want to lose weight. You know, the word diet makes me hungry. You hear the word diet. Well, I'm hungry now. There's things that trigger us and things that we're not supposed to do or supposed to do that trigger our actions. And, you know, don't do this. Well, then I want that. I want to do that now. Or don't have this. I want to have it. That sin nature is inside of us. It's still there. It didn't go away. The sin of Adam was accomplished by Christ to do away with what he did, his disobedience. But there's a sin nature inside, but there's also a spiritual nature inside too, and that's the battle. And we have that, our old sin nature and our spirit in Christ nature. And Satan sure uses the sin nature we still have and works against us. And, you know, and he makes it easy. He tries to convince us, you know, the sin's okay. You know, he'll say, you know, you're not as sinful as the Bible says you are. In fact, you're a really good person. You know, how many times have you heard people say that people are inherently good, that deep down, we're all good? That's false. Deep down, we're all terrible. You know, matter how what you look on the outside, Romans is all about knowing how bad we are and the need we have. You know, kids say, well, kids are they're good, you know. Well, what are the first things kids do? You know, their first words are like no or mine. You know, you don't have to teach them selfishness. That comes out in most kids. You don't have to teach them, did you do that? No. You don't have to teach them that part. That comes kind of natural. What you do have to teach is to do it the right way. You know, you have to teach them not to lie. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them those things. The bad things come natural. That's part of the inside. Remember, probably told you before, remember a long time ago, the kids were little, mom and dad had a little go-kart. And they were pretty small. The go-kart wasn't a fast one. I also had a tree planted in the backyard, down at the bottom of the hill. Not a big tree, kind of one of those stick trees, you know, that's about that tall, but about this wide, you know. Not much on it, kind of bendable tree. You know, the next thing you know, you hear the go-kart wheels going ring. That's because the tree was bent over into a car, kind of like the cartoons, you know. The tree's bent over, the car's on top of the tree, and the wheels are spinning. And the young child inside, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Sitting in the car on top of the tree, I didn't do it. That's what comes natural. That's what comes natural. That's what we have to teach them. The same kid, I don't know, a year or two later, we bought a a new minivan, a new Chevy Astro van. One of the dumb things we did in our lifetime. But anyways, you know, sitting in the garage, he drove his bicycle down, and the pedal was up beside it, you know, and on the side. But he come and told me. So we learned. We have to teach kids the right thing to do. They already know the wrong thing to do. And adults do the same. You know, as Satan says, what God says, it's unreasonable. It's oppressive. It's putting you down. That's not reasonable to even ask you to do that. A lot of times people tell me, well, that's old times. You know, that's a couple thousand years ago. That stuff doesn't even apply anymore. It's outdated. It's not with the way we live. Well, God doesn't change. Just because we do doesn't mean God did. He doesn't. You know, sometimes he says, well, this really isn't a sin anyway. You know, it's not really a sin. You're not angry. You're just frustrated a little bit. Or it's not adultery. It's just a relationship. Or you're not lying. You're just stretching the truth. It's just a fib. It's not a lie. It's a fib. It's not a sin. It's just a mistake. It's a mistake. You know, sin is sin to God, no matter what you want to call it. It doesn't change. Go ahead and do it. No one will ever know. Truth typically comes out. And besides, God always knows. Then you get the everyone's doing it. You know, we get the jump off the cliff scenario. Everyone's doing it, so you know. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Some say, well, you can't, you know, he'll say, you can't stop this, you can't stop it, or you can't break this addiction, or you can't break these feelings you have because you've been doing it so long. It's a part of your life. You've been doing it so long, you can't get rid of these things. And we say, you know, yeah, it's out of my control. I can't help myself. And in that case, you'd be right. It's hard to help yourself. You can't, but God can. God can help you through those things. But it takes two willing entities to want to change it. And God's already ready. But you've got to be ready. Or else it won't. You've got to be willing to go to God with it. You've got to be willing to give it up. We want to hold on to so much, but we've got to give it up. God's already willing to take it. Are you willing to give it? And he says, you know, this will satisfy. This will fulfill you. This will make you happy. And he's not wrong for a little bit. You know, some sins make you happy. Satisfies you for a little while. As time goes on, then not so much. You know, it wears off and our old attitude returns. Or at worst, guilt and shame set in from what you did. Because you knew it was wrong to do. You know, why did I do it? Why? Why did I do what I don't want to do? Sometimes they say, oh, you won't get caught. That's kind of like saying no one will ever know. God already knows. Says God will forgive you anyway. Well, that's true if it's genuine repentance. But lip service need not apply. You know, if you don't mean it, it's not going to happen. But God is willing to forgive. And then you get to after the sinning, then you hear the words, boy, you've really messed up. You know, God's not going to love you. God's not going to forgive you now. You know, Satan uses everything, but God's always willing to forgive genuine repentance and asking for forgiveness no matter what the sin is. No matter what the sin is, it doesn't matter. Because he's already said, as far as love goes, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from his love. So nothing is going to separate you from his forgiveness if it's genuine and you ask for it and you want it. We're going to have an invitation in a few minutes, and then we're going to have communion after that. But again, he said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. He says, don't offer any part of yourself to sin. Now, what do we offer to our mind? Where's our mind at? You know, what are we thinking about? Is it above things? Are we thinking about things around us? Where's our eyes? What are we looking at? What are we reading? What are we watching? Is this things we should be watching? Things we should be reading? Is it a Bible or is it other things that we're reading? What kind of movies? What kind of shows are we watching? Our ears, what are we listening to? Same thing. You know, what music, what songs, what things are we listening to? What people are we listening to? You know, who are we taking things from? Our tongue. That we can't offer our tongue. Do we offer our tongue for bitterness, to berate people, to put people down, or for encouragement and lifting up people? Using it to share Jesus. Our hands and feet, where do they take us? Jesus says we're his hands and feet. But where are they taking us? Are they taking us to places he would have us to go or not? You know, you got to offer yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. You know, we all serve someone. And generally in our case, there's two choices, Satan or God. You serve evil or you serve the good. You're either for it or you're against. There's no fence to ride on. You're on one side or the other. You know, God's given those who believe and died with Christ a resurrection power and the Holy Spirit power that I truly wish we all understood and comprehended, but we don't. We have such a power that we don't use, but it's there. It's been given to us. But we don't use it. We don't even acknowledge it. We don't understand it. But we've got a battle going on. We've got to determine who we are letting influence our life. Are we giving in to sin or are we giving in to God? You know, God says, when God says don't do it, I believe he gives us the power not to do it. And again, I think the Holy Spirit is such an untapped power that we have. Now there's a sanctification process. I believe it's lifelong. You know, being made in God's image takes a while. Some sooner, some a little later. But the goal is to be like Christ, be sanctified, to change, to be like him. And while we need to look and see where we're at, you know, as a believer, you know, we need to look and see where we're at right now. Are we still on milk? Are we still babes in Christ? Or are we into the meat? Are we mature in Christ? Are we somewhere in between? You know, we need to look and see where we're at. Because a lot of that depends on us and how important God is to us and how important being like him is. Because we have to put the effort in and the trust and the faith in. We have to do the reading. We have to read his word. We have to pray. You know, the more we do, the more we'll be like him. He'll use us. The more that we give to him and less of ourselves, we become more like him. He wants to give us all of himself. You know, yeah, we fail. We sin still because the old nature's still there. But just as a good parent still loves the child, God never leaves. He's ready to forgive. He loves us through all of our failures. But when you don't think you can overcome sin, just remember the power he's given you. I believe it's possible. Are we going to be perfect? No. You know, he did tell the woman at the well, he said, go and sin no more. I don't think he believed she was never going to sin again. But I think he said, go. Be mature. You know, grow. Be mature in your choices. Be mature in Christ. And when you don't think you can, Philippians 4:13 says you can. It says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So you have the power to do it. You just have to decide which way you're going. You can choose sin. You can choose what Satan's telling you. Or you can choose Christ and what he's telling you. It's your choice. Free will's a booger sometimes. It causes problems. But that's the way God made us. It's our choice. So I just encourage you to, as we take communion today, to spend that time. You know, it's a time of examination. You know, where am I? Am I still milk? Am I still baby stage? Am I a little older than that? Maybe I'm in teenage years with Christ? Or am I mature with Christ? Do I understand more? Do I know I have the power to overcome sin in my life? That I don't have to do what I don't want to do. You know, it's a struggle. It was for Paul. It's a struggle for each and every one of us. But I believe God has given the power to do that. So, as we go to communion after the song, I just take that time to examine yourself. Let's pray. Brother, thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul, Lord. Romans is about the need for you. The need for you. That the law couldn't, it could only show us the need for you. That we couldn't do it. But it couldn't fix us. Only Jesus could. We're just so thankful that Jesus shed his blood for our salvation. For our salvation into eternal life with you, but a life right now that you called us to be. A life right now that you called us to be like you. And Lord, we pray for each one in the sanctification process, Lord. First, that they know you. That's the beginning. But those that know you, Lord, in the process, Lord, that you would grow them, that you would mature us all, Lord, to be what you've called us to be. Lord, just let us use that power within us to overcome the sin in our lives, Lord, that when the Satan speaks up, when temptation comes, Lord, that we use the power to the extent that you've given it to us to overcome those things. And I believe you gave us the power to overcome those things. So, Lord, give us your wisdom in that. Lord, we're just thankful that you're there and it says, praise be to God who can get us out of this body. Someday we won't have this battle. And that's because of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Lift everyone up. Encourage everyone to look at themselves, Lord, to be mature as you would call us to be. Lord, I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.